Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. And instead, simply go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI on Unlimited Ultimate and a watch or tab, also on them.
Service plan required for watch or tab. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick. We're doing an episode we really wish we didn't have to do today about Jacoby Jones. Very sadly passed. We learned the news today. He would be, if he were alive today, just 3 days past his 40th birthday. Obviously much too young. Haven't heard anything about the reasons yet, but we want to reflect on his life a little bit, in particular his time with the Ravens, and here to do that with me is Ben Mihal. Ben, thanks for joining me.
Yeah, thank you, Ken. Appreciate it.
All right. Again, wish we didn't have to do this. Certainly fits into the series we're doing, but you know, it's really sad because Jacoby had a life that was just seemed to be full of fun, and it's really a shame that it's cut off so early.
Yeah, really sad. Just horrible to get that news. It seems like, you know, the Ravens, among other NFL teams, are just kind of having this sad news trickle out every summer, just untimely passings. But just trying to focus on the positive about what an amazing Raven Jacoby was, the amazing effect he had on all of his teammates, on the Baltimore community. I was just really seeing that kind of outpouring of love and appreciation, and just felt it would be nice to jump on with you and do something to kind of celebrate some of those great moments.
I appreciate that, Ben, and we'll do that today. So Jacoby signed as a free agent for the 2012 season. He played 5 years previous to that in Houston. Kind of a lot of his story anyway, in terms of his impact on the Ravens, starts in his last game with the Texans. He fumbled two punts, and the part of the reason the Ravens won that divisional game against the Texans and eliminated them in Baltimore in 2011. Didn't deter the Ravens from signing him. And then he played 3 years, 44 games for Baltimore, plus six more in the postseason. The Ravens won five of those. And one of the really successful Ravens of all time. There's some other guys in the 2000-2001 era who had similar playoff records, but Jacoby was a good one.
Yeah, two things there. First of all, I don't think it's hyperbole at all to say that Ravens wouldn't have won the 2012 championship without him. Just no doubt about it. Just some incredibly big plays late in the season, but throughout the year, I was enjoying going back through that. Back to the 2011 game in the playoffs, though, you know, a lot of people were always saying it was his fault they lost the game, the Texans, that is. And I was kind of looking back at it, and it was certainly an unfortunate moment for him, fortunate for Ravens fans in that moment, but the Texans were a good team, but they were with their backup, I think it was their third string quarterback that year, actually, TJ Yates. Ravens were a good team, 2011, like a really, really good team. We've talked on other episodes about how close that team was to getting to the Super Bowl. But I mean, the talent the Ravens had that year against a third string quarterback like that, like they should have won the game regardless. Of course, they jumped all over them with the help of that punt return, but
it's an outstanding game for the Texans defense in that game. They played very well. And the Ravens had Lardarius Webb had two picks covering Andre Johnson. In a lot of ways, that was Webb's coming out party on a national stage. And he'd been he was really the best cornerback in the National Football League in 2011 with a 42 passer rating against, playoffs included. Was really, really outstanding. But anyway, the reasons why they won that game are not as important as reflecting on Jacoby's time in Baltimore. Anyway, 2012, he was All Pro one and the Pro Bowl return man. He's one of the few players in Ravens history that's returned both kicks and punts.
Yeah, just really just awesome. He's more than return specialist. I wouldn't call him just return specialist, but really like a supremely good returner. Just a lot of great moves. I was noticing that watching some of his highlights, he had the great wiggle. He had some great jukes, but he really had this like almost like a one cut running back kind of style as a returner, where he really knew how to make that cut. And then he was so decisive. You can see it on returns from the Texans with the Ravens. He's able to find that sideline or find that seam and then just hit it. Not like a blazing fast guy. He ran a 4.5 apparently, but once he had that step and that angle and kind of committed to getting north and south, he was gone almost every time.
I think you've got it exactly right in terms of describing his style too. He was a very simple, straight ahead, one cut guy, and not somebody who would juke people, not really a stiff arm guy either. Nope. At Trentis, even though he had the length for it. He was a guy who the Ravens set up blocks for him. He knew how to read blocks. So he knew how to make one cut when a good block was made, whether that was Buck Allen or whoever it might have been on a kickoff return. He knew how to do it. He had some bodacious returns. He had a fearless style in terms of returning kicks from deep in the end zone. Harbaugh used to talk about him reading the trajectory of the football, and if it was low enough, then it wouldn't matter if it's 107, 108 deep. Now, nobody returns a kick from that deep under the current rules, with the 25-yard line being the alternative.
Yeah, I saw today, let NFL record 4 kick returns over 105 yards. So that tells you pretty much the whole story right there. I actually saw something. I was watching this great special that NFL had where he was kind of narrating some of his highlights on the Raiders game in the 2012 season. He actually stepped out of the back of the end zone trying to take a 109-yarder. And then later in the game, when the game was well out of reach for the Raiders, gave the Ravens a nice insurance. I believe it was 105, 106.
105.
Touchdown there. Yeah, 105.
So we talk about the 2012 moments, and there are so many of them, but we're gonna hit on them here. I'll start with the Patriots game, and then we can kind of alternate as we go. 3 catches for 86 yards in that Week 3 win against the Patriots. So they won the game 31-30. That's known as kind of the Torrey Smith game. He had 2 touchdowns, I believe, in that game. But Jacoby Jones played a very significant role in it. That's also the game where Bill Belichick left the field kind of trying to tackle the referees, trying to tackle the officials to get them to explain why that kick was good from Tucker that won the game.
You and I had a fun little back and forth on this one as we did our Torrey Smith episode a little while back as well. Yeah, that season, I like really is one of those seasons where I really feel like you can just like visualize every single game for whatever reason. I mean, not for every reason. It's Super Bowl season, of course. So it's kind of like burned in your memory all these special moments. And it's always special when you can kind of see the trajectory of a team that's really building towards something, especially coming off of that 2011 season. For me, I actually wanted to go back one week for my first one in Week 2 against the Eagles. And he had this sweet kind of sideline touchdown where Flacco just puts a beautiful ball on him down the right sideline. But the reason I wanted to bring it up is it kind of shows you the impact of Jacoby Jones on the Ravens receiving core that year. Coming off of a year where they used Lee Evans and some other kind of random parts as their third receiver, and they really were missing that player. I don't think anybody would have expected Jacoby Jones to be this kind of third weapon on 11 personnel, but his ability to play outside, play vertically down the field, really opened things up for them to be able to use Torrey Smith kind of as more of a flanker sometimes, and then, of course, Anquan Boldin in the slot. So wanted to focus just on that really nice touchdown and one of his classic signature dances Week 2 against the Eagles, but also kind of taking a step back to see that he really completed that receiver room in a really nice way. And I was trying to think, I'm not sure the Ravens have necessarily had a better three-headed monster at just receiver than that group. Maybe I'm missing one, but
maybe 2023, but or 1996 maybe too. So they've had a couple of good ones over the years, but the 2012 team, Jacoby Jones, a lot like Nelson Aguilar in terms of what he brought to the team. And, a veteran presence for sure. A character in the most extreme way, but
absolutely,
definitely that loss to the Eagles was a bummer. They lost that game 24-23, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, that's right.
But you know, week four, it wasn't week four, it was week six, and the Ravens had suffered a couple of really major injuries. I don't know if they had suffered them yet in the game, but they suffered major injuries to Ray and to Lardarius Webb in that game. Webb was lost for the year. Ray was effectively lost for the entire regular season, then came back, of course, with the harness for the playoffs. But he had a 108-yard kick return in that game. That was the first of two, as we know, that later led to, I think, a Twitter handle that was Mr. 108 for a while.
Did not remember that. But we're talking Cowboys game, right? In week four? Yep.
Cowboys game in week four.
That, right, exactly. With the huge, one of the 108. That's so funny. I didn't remember the Mr. 108. That's a good one. and in terms of regular season that year, I didn't have much else. I was kind of jumping to the playoff run there. Did you have anything else you wanted to hit on?
Season? I think that's good. Those are I had the Oakland return too, but you mentioned that earlier. Let's talk the playoffs.
We've got some fun ones for 2013. But yeah, going to the playoffs, I mean, the Mile High Miracle was just that moment where you talk about a player, or just kind of really a team, just continuing to play, not giving up. It wasn't like this perfect play where the defense did everything right. It really was taking advantage of a mistake by the defense. But regardless, continuing to play. And it's kind of the details in the Mile High Miracle to me. Actually, I wanted to take a step back and just recognize that he did make a big mistake. I hadn't remembered this on the first kickoff return of that game where he kind of bobbled the ball and I think he recovered it on like their own 5-yard line, put the Ravens in a difficult spot. One of their first drives of that game, they were already at a deficit. But just going back to the Mile High Miracle, I mean, obviously just great throw by Flacco to just get the height and the depth on the ball. And the thing that you kind of sleep on as you watch receiver play all across the NFL is that you got to secure the ball first before doing anything else. It wasn't a contested catch, but just given the moment, given the cold, given all the like the entire situation, I don't think we can just take it for granted that he was going to be able to secure that catch. So two hands, secures the catch, and then is able to kind of make sure he knows where he is on the field and get into the end zone. So just really just an amazing Ravens moment that I'm sure we'll all remember forever. Yeah.
Yeah, we've got the image burned into our minds. Most of us, I think, remember Raheem Moore's name.
Raheem Moore, right.
If for any reason we didn't remember that, Dan Dierdorf burned it into that broadcast any number of times. So deep outside is deep outside. It was a four verticals play, and it was one where Flacco knew he had a vertical receiver there, but I think because they really hadn't had a chance to huddle up or whatever, I don't think he even knew who it was. But he threw the ball up there. Jacoby was right in position, had outraced the defense. Flacco very fortunately out through the defense after a little bit of movement around the pocket, and it's one of the moments we'll never forget. We've had a couple of bad ones in terms of the Lee Evans drop and the Cundiff miss, and certainly that one comes to mind as one of the great plays in Ravens history, and you know, fourth and five in the Super Bowl. There's other ones, but that play will be one of the biggest plays in Ravens history for a very long time.
One of the biggest singular plays. You're exactly right, because especially in this later Harbaugh era, when the Ravens are like playing well and winning, there's not always that like singular play or game turning play. So just kind of all the situations, that was such a weird game, so that kind of back and forth with all the kick returns from the Broncos. But yeah, like the beautiful thing about that play is kind of watching Flacco just elite, like an elite move there, really, to protect the ball, step through that kind of all that traffic, and then be able to uncork that deep pass. But you also see that Jacoby Jones, I'm not sure if he was trying to read the defender on the outside there, but he kind of slowed down for a second. And that's usually not a good recipe for success there on a deep play like that, once the offensive player stops his feet. So the fact that he was able to kind of slow down, I don't know if that's what affected Raheem Moore or what it was, then be able to kind of get back up to full speed, like I said, secure the catch and complete the play. I mean, just an amazing moment in Ravens history for sure.
Yeah, it's often a lot of things are put down about those great Ravens teams that you know, Flacco threw for a lot of pass interference and this, right, and that. Well, I mean, the Ravens had the speed to get deep on a lot of corners and the arm to take advantage of that. It was only natural that might occur. And one of the ones I've often heard about Jacoby and his catch is that It had to be like that because he had to catch it like a punt because he wouldn't have been able to catch it otherwise. And Jacoby had a few hands problems as a receiver in his career, but I would say that's an overstatement of the fact by a very bitter, bitter fan.
No, I agree completely. And I think back to my other point where, like, you need, especially as the game was moving towards more of those three receiver, 11 personnel sets, the Ravens, I don't know if they were up with the times. They were slightly behind the times moving in that direction. But be able to have that vertical threat where you can really use a weapon like Flacco to start kind of – that was the year they really went bombs away, where Flacco did. That was really when we saw a new Flacco. You know, I had talked on one of our previous episodes about that Patriots game in 2011. It was one of the best games I ever thought I saw Flacco play in a losing effort. And then kind of late in 2012, you really saw this bombs away style from Flacco, especially in the playoffs. That's what we all think of. But using a vertical receiver like Jacoby Jones, who I didn't note this earlier, but I meant to, he's 6'3", or that was his listed height at least. Not a great hands catcher, not physical at the catch point, anything like that, but like tall, angular kind of guy who really could get down the field and make some plays. And like I said, that really, I think that was kind of the key to the season. If you look at the difference between the 2011 and 2012 teams, the rosters are very, very similar. And I always kind of go back and look at that free agent addition of Jacoby, and at least on the offense and making the change. I'm guessing you're going to say the offensive line changes too.
Well, the 2011 team was much better. The 2012 team was actually the worst of the first five Harbaugh years. They had tremendous success, obviously. And that team wins the Super Bowl. You know, they basically won the lottery ticket. And I think that, you know, the nice thing about the 2012 team is look at that in terms of maybe the 2024 or even the 25 Ravens, if it comes to it, and think that, you know, the 2023 Ravens will probably be the greatest Ravens team of all time for a considerable amount of time. They're greater than the 2000 or 2012 teams by far. You know, the other teams, the 2006, 2008 teams, and the 2019 team, all can maybe lay claim to similar things, but I think the 2023 team, looking at DeVoe and whatnot, is the best team of them all. It's not necessarily the best team of them all that ends up winning in the playoffs. And we already, you know, we're already incredibly frustrated with the 19, 20, and 23 results in particular. Getting a little bit of background noise from you, some boiling water or something there. Not on your end. Okay, no problem. Anyway, it's not always the best team that gets it done. So the Ravens will have their chance again, hopefully, in the next couple of years.
I've been putting quite a bit of thought into that, actually. That's a great point. Ever since the end of the 23 season, just kind of thinking of the parallels and the heartbreaking ending. And it's the painful thing about football that it ends so quickly, and the beautiful thing about football is that you get a chance to do it the next year, maybe not with the same team construction, but sometimes you need those like battle scars to kind of build into your next season. And I really am excited to see what the 24 Ravens do.
Yeah. So anyway, we move on to the Super Bowl, where Jacoby has his next set of great moments. And I'm going to start in the first half. We'll talk about this. I'm sure you'll probably talk about another highlight. But he closed out the first half scoring with a huge play. Now, if you remember how this got set up, the Ravens led 21-6, I believe. They missed a field goal. Sorry, they Tucker got tackled on a fake field goal run. So they really wanted to try it. Harbaugh is you know, caught on microphone saying, I really want to try that fake field goal. And then they stopped him. They got the ball back around midfield. Flacco threw a bomb to Jacoby Jones. He caught it going down to the ground. Nobody touched him. Gets up, outmaneuvers the defense in just an outrageously good way. Gets to the edge and gets in the end zone for the touchdown. Puts him up. I'm sorry, it was 14-6 at the time because that touchdown put him up 21-6.
Yeah, and again, like wide open burns the defense, but again, you have to make the play and finish the play. And these are the things that you really see on these highlights from him is...
Didn't you know it's possible to get THC shipped right to your door? Mood delivers premium 100% federally legal THC directly to you. I'm talking about delicious high-potency gummies, top-shelf flower, home-baked cookies, vapes, anything you'd find at a dispensary, you can now order online and have it shipped quickly, discreetly, and conveniently right to your door. And every Mood product is made from pesticide-free cannabis grown on America's best small farms at prices that won't destroy your wallet. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with code RAVENS. So head to mood.com/ravens, check out their online dispensary, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code RAVENS when you check out to save 20% on your first order.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel, because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. And instead, simply go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI on Unlimited Ultimate and Watch or Tap, also on them.
Service plan required for Watch or Tap. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
That was kind of a crazy play for him to kind of regain his feet and then be able to kind of spatially know what's going on around him again. I feel like I'm talking about the Mile High Miracle play again, but the similarities are there, where he really is able to get back to his, have the like kind of awareness to get up, know that he wasn't touched. I actually was seeing a mic'd up thing today where Flacco said something to him like, "Were you touched, or did they touch you?" And he was able to kind of make that spin move, get all the way to the end zone. And it reminded me of a play early this past season with Zay Flowers, who kind of wasn't really, remember, it was a long pass in the Bengals game week two. Lamar hits him down the seam, and Flowers maybe doesn't remember that he's playing by NFL rules now and just assumes he's down, and then kind of makes a late attempt to get up. So anyway, just seeing the kind of difference in those two plays, just a beautiful play from Jacoby Jones there. And I mean, that game was certainly going well at that point for the Ravens.
Yeah, and then the second half,
and that leads right into the second half, right? We haven't had this the blackout or anything yet, and just a complete signature return from Jacoby Jones, where you exactly what we were talking about, is able to just hit it, completely decisive, straight down the middle, and just gets one of his great dances in there, and things were really looking good for the Ravens at that point.
So when we're talking about other return men, you look back to Super Bowl 35 and the Ravens kickoff return in that game was much more of a speed to beat the outside. Blocks got made, a little bit of dancing over some some downed bodies on the sideline. A great dancing touchdown there by Jermaine Lewis, but very different from the Jacoby Jones touchdown, which was really just a one cut, one great block, one cut off that block, and he went to the house.
Yeah, just a very unique style for a kick return, and I mean, production was just really, really top notch for sure. And we don't have to get into the details of what happened after that in the game, but that was just to have the deep shot and the kick return touchdown on this team where, you know, he's definitely not a household name or just becoming one at this point. But that's the beautiful thing about this team game. And, you know, you get contributions from everybody. And I mean, how can you talk about the 2012 Ravens without talking about Jacoby Jones?
Yeah, it's we certainly don't have to talk about the blackout, although it certainly sucked and it got the 49ers back in the game. What we can talk about is the podium afterwards. And Jacoby was there. Flacco won the MVP award. There are a lot of people who think that Jacoby should have won it. I think that it would not have been unreasonable. It you couldn't give it to Jacoby for his entire postseason, because then you definitely give it to Flacco for being 11-0 and touchdowns, interceptions. So I understand why it ended up going to Flacco, but Jacoby Jones certainly could have won it for that game.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure. I think, you know, I'm glad that it went to Flacco, especially that was a kind of a time in football kind of narrative. People, you know, had a lot of things to say about Flacco. There was always that elite conversation. So getting that, you know, capping that awesome postseason run with the Super Bowl MVP, I'm glad it went to Flacco. But I mean, there's no doubt you could have made the argument to go to Jacoby Jones there as well.
A lot of people trying to find something wrong with Flacco at that time. But in particular, at that time was a ridiculous time to do it. He had a terrible season in 2013 after he made a lot of money, which was really a downer. But the 2008 to 2012, yeah, there's some game managing there. Yeah, there's some early, not really great passing in the playoffs. But he sure as hell was a winner at all that time, and was a winner in particular in the playoffs on the road, which is really remarkable.
And just being that Flacco came win with Harbaugh, I really see some parallels to the Lamar narrative now, where there's just the fact of the matter that a Harbaugh team is going to run the ball, and that's going to affect your quarterback's numbers. And it really is as simple as that sometimes. The Ravens, especially then, we're going to run the ball a lot. I remember driving myself absolutely insane watching some of these games with second and eight handoffs or whatever. And you have a good back like Ray Rice in those years and things like that. But Flacco clearly could play in a nice wide open offense as well. And so you kind of get into a little chicken and egg type of thing, where is this a Flacco problem? Is this a Harbaugh thing? But regardless, he's a Super Bowl champion. You can't take that away from Flacco or the Ravens.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to 2013. Why don't you start us off in terms of your big 2013 highlight? Several.
Yeah. Well, just high level taking it into 2013. I mean, he was very involved in offense still. And I might know it was a little too involved. Probably his snap share went up to 50% on offense that year. They lost Bolden, and, you know, Marlon Brown had some nice moments, but way too much Marlon Brown that year. So yeah, I mean, to me, the 2013 highlight of the season, and excuse me if I'm jumping ahead of anything here, is the Thanksgiving game against the Steelers. I remember you did the one moment, or that one Ravens play little series about this. We don't want to spend too much time on it, but watching that play again is just kind of like, it's just the most mind-boggling thing, because yes, it's ridiculous what Tomlin did, but the thing that stuck out to me on like rewatching this morning was Collinsworth doesn't even understand what happened. And it takes him a really, really long time for the announcers to even figure out what happened. He's saying, oh, the guy on kickoff coverage made a great play to chase down Jacoby Jones. And it was so obvious that he had the angle, he had the speed on everybody. And Tomlin's on the sideline, like grinning like an idiot, kind of, and, you know, knowing what he just did. And it was almost like surreal, kind of like seeing the highlight and seeing the live call of it, that I think as Ravens fans, we know that play so well. So just kind of stepping back and like trying to rewatch it for the first time, if you will, it's kind of like a strange thing to see. So, I mean, you can't really, when you bring up Jacoby Jones' name, that's one of the first things that come to mind, is that crazy Steelers play.
It was very funny. So Thanksgiving Day, there was video that came out a day or two later, looking straight down the sidelines, which shows Tomlin take a very intentional step with his back to the play, directly onto the field of play. And that to me, that's the thing that should have probably done two things to Tomlin. There should have been a suspension involved. I could live without that. A huge fine might have been enough. But the other thing that had to happen, this is the thing that absolutely had to happen. Tomlin needed to be kicked off the competition committee for at least a period of 3 years, say. Something that, you know, if you can't make the rules if you can't play by them. It's just that simple in terms of the thing. So I wish that Jacoby, you know, barring the risk of injury, I wish he'd kind of run into Tomlin on the play and force the officials to call it a touchdown right there. That would have been, you know, it hasn't happened in any place that I'm aware of since the 1954 Cotton Bowl, where somebody came off the bench and made a tackle and it was ruled a touchdown. If you don't know that, by the way, it's there's still video out there of it, I believe, but it's something that does not happen often. And it's actually funny that the previous Super Bowl, Flacco was talking about, you know, trying to convince Marshall Yanda to run onto the sideline, run on and stop him. And, oh, maybe they can call it a touchdown. I don't know.
But I'm glad you brought that up, because I was going to jump all over that otherwise. But yeah, I mean, it was just like, I mean, it's just Bush League that Tomlin did that. I agree completely. It's first of all, it's just a player safety thing. I mean, he could have, Jerry Jones could have gotten hurt on that play even without the contact, just because it clearly messed up with his, you know, he knew something was off. I mean, as an athlete that's moving at that speed and trying to, and we've talked about his kind of spatial awareness a few times. So obviously somebody that, you know, good like instincts and things like that, that's so dangerous. It was kind of like broke your brain to watch the play, because it's like, how did somebody, nothing touched him, but something clearly affected him. So completely ridiculous for Tomlin to do that. He very well could have just tripped him. Maybe that was his intent even. I don't know. I mean, it was – so, yes, being on the competition committee, it still rubs me the wrong way. These were the years where the Steelers and Ravens were really – not that they're not rivals still, but that was when that rivalry was really kind of in peak form, it feels like, at its hottest, exactly. So, yeah, I mean, I do think he should have been suspended to some degree. And, if you know, it obviously nobody could figure out what happened real time fast enough, but ejected from that game would have been completely fine with me as well, I think.
And the officials gave him a 15-yard penalty. They could have technically spotted the ball wherever they wanted. I actually think a 15 yards is about how much was lost on that return. So I'm not terribly upset about that. I'm terribly upset with the intent. That's what really pisses me off.
And in true 2013 Ravens fashion, they, of course, settled for a field goal on that possession. So extra salty about that, that it seemed like a short touchdown. And I think, if I remember, it was a one score, if not a 1-point game down the stretch there. So definitely was an important play in the game.
Yeah, the Ravens did win, and Jacoby Jones came out and ate the turkey leg after the game on national TV, which was kind of cool. So I know the article that I wrote after that game was turkey almost ruins Thanksgiving.
Love that. Yeah. And that is one of those endearing, I'm glad you called that out, because that is one of those kind of lasting images of Jacoby Jones in a Ravens uniform, is just having that big turkey leg. And something I saw floating through Twitter this morning as people were sharing some of their favorite memories of him. So I'm glad we touched on that.
I got to hit on one other 2013 moment. That's the incredible kickoff return in the blizzard against the Vikings. So
that was mine too.
To take you down this road, they had, you know, five scores in the last 2 minutes. Started off with a Flacco touchdown pass to Pitta that put them up by one. They had to get a 2-point conversion. I think they had a penalty. Then they had to do it from the 7-yard line. They went for it anyway because, you know, 1 point didn't mean anything. They threw the ball into the Flacco, had a long extended play for Flacco anyway, and then heaved the ball up, and I forget who came down with it, but it was
Torrey Smith on that, yeah.
Torrey Smith on that one, okay. I would have guessed Marlon Brown, but it wasn't. Marlon Brown came into the game later.
He had a touchdown later on, right?
Then they scored very quickly, and Cordarrelle Patterson, I think, scored a touchdown.
Yeah, I was rewatching this. I have vivid memories of this game. Just I was living kind of in the Northeast at that time, and I remember just every game was a blizzard game that day. That was the same day as one of these several Shady McCoy blizzard games that he was so good in.
Buffalo,
Was happening. Yeah, it was happening at the same time. But yeah, I mean, just a back and forth game. For some reason, I couldn't quite remember or figure this out, but the Vikings chose to kick it short. I'm not sure if that was a strategy thing or maybe the conditions were affecting it. I think he caught it at like the 27 or 30 yard line. And then, just like we keep saying, I mean, he was just no doubt about it, just stayed on the sideline, took it right down, and seemed to be the decisive score there. And of course, a lot was yet to happen in that game still.
Yeah. They had a 2-play, 75-yard drive or whatever. I thought I remembered it being caught at the 16, but I may be thinking about Jermaine Lewis in the postseason. It might have been shorter than that. Might well have been shorter, but it was.
I think I saw it was like a 70-yard touchdown on that one. So yeah,
they tried to pin him against the right sideline to make sure he didn't run it back, and didn't work. the right sideline. He just actually took it right up the right sideline. There was almost no cut. He might have avoided one
right
tackle.
No, he just kind of stayed exactly where he was and just took it right down. I'm not sure if there was some kind of coverage issue or what was happening there, but I mean, that was also just the type of game where kind of throw all common sense out the window. That was one of the wilder Ravens games that you'll ever see. If you want to actually NFL or the NFL YouTube channel does have a really nice kind of like 20-minute kind of last 2 minutes thing there as well.
I guess I'll mention one other thing which happened. It was Jacoby Jones. I'm not sure if it was 2013. It might have been a little bit later, but he won Dancing with the Stars. I think it probably was 2013 because that's the time he would have been hot in terms of everybody wanting him on the show. A nice moment for him, and one that kind of, I think, showed how much Jacoby loved life in general. Like the drumstick moment was a similar one in terms of he was a bon vivant and a guy who I think must have been a very fun teammate as well.
Yeah, and that's what you've heard today, it seems like. I mean, I was just really struck, not that this is uncommon for any football player who kind of is passes at an early age, but just kind of seeing everybody, I mean, Torrey Smith, all of the Ray Lewis, even Lamar kind of reacted, I believe. But just kind of, I mean, he's just a Raven that will always be remembered in Baltimore. I love that he signed a 1 year or a 1 day contract when he retired to retire as a Raven. He's been very involved in the Ravens community afterwards. I remember seeing that he was at minicamp a few weeks ago. He announced a draft pick for the Ravens in the last 2 years. So, I mean, you don't do all of that if he didn't really feel this strong connection to the city and the team. And these are the things that as a fan really, really resonate, I think. And then just to the Dancing with the Stars thing, I can't say I've ever watched a Dancing with the Stars, but I did see a clip of this morning, him incorporating the Ray Lewis squirrel dance into one of his Dancing with the Stars
routine. No, I did not know that.
I've never seen or heard. I didn't either until about 2 or 3 hours ago, but a really fun little thing where he and his dance partner incorporated that into some kind of one of their dance routines. So that's a fun watch as well if you want to try to find that one.
It's frequently been said that the athletes had the unfair advantage of having a lot of strength for those kind of competitions and whatnot. And Jacoby certainly, was very well built to be on that show. And
I mean, you can't talk enough about the level, how good of a dancer he was. I mean, his celebrations were awesome. It's a funny thing to say, but like he's just an incredible high level athlete that really like understands kind of like, just, I don't even know how to move your body kind of thing. To be able to be that good of a dancer, it kind of goes hand in hand, it feels like. So, yeah, that's the lasting memory for me with him is, you know, those big plays, just really bringing this levity and kind of happiness and just joy to the sidelines. Just really like a special team, special player, and just such sadness this morning.
Yeah, we'll miss him. And, it's a part of Ravens history that has gone too soon. It's an opportunity for a guy to come back and be remembered at the stadium multiple times, probably. You know, they seem to bring back one ex-Raven per game. You'd think about once every 3 years they bring back a player like Jacoby Jones. Probably was never headed to the Ravens Ring of Honor, but still would be a player who could be at alumni events and whatnot. And, I'm always really sad when a person is between 60 and 65 and they die and they miss their entire retirement. They work their entire career effectively and they miss their retirement, due to an early death. And it's just very sad for Jacoby because he's effectively missed his entire retirement from football really sad. For
so
his family.
Sad. And, I saw that, or I didn't realize this, but it seems like he's been a wide receivers coach for some HBCUs and just, had a lot of life to live. Like you were saying, I mean, the 2012 Ravens team will be always remembered on different anniversaries, 20 years, whatever. Surely would have looked forward to seeing him doing that signature dance at those. So, yeah, just feeling for just Ravens fans everywhere, feeling for his teammates, feeling just really for the city of Baltimore or something like this. It's really, really sad. But he gave us a lot of really happy memories, which is why it was nice to kind of go through some of those old plays today.
Ben, appreciate you reaching out to me and wanting to do this episode today. It should be done in a timely fashion for, you know, a great all-time Raven. Where can people talk football with you online?
Yeah, on Twitter at Classic Mihal. Happy to jump in on any kind of Ravens talk that's going down. And looking forward to kind of seeing if we can do some more content with you here, Ken. So thanks again for having me.
And that's at Classic and M-I-H-A-L. Just so if you're interested in a good follow or whatnot, give Ben one. Other folks out there, if you'd like to be on a film study short, including a Recollections episode, just hit me up. DMs are always open on Twitter. Always appreciate talking to new people about football. Hopefully not another one of these anytime soon, but I would love to hear from you. Ben, thanks again for coming on.
Thanks, Ken.
And we'll talk to you next time on Film Study. All right, really good episode. To the point.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. And instead, simply go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI on Unlimited Ultimate and a watch or tab, also on them.
Service plan required for watch or tab. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.